Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Today, Laura lets me tell you all about the couples retreat that I went on by myself. I had a great time. I was in Costa Rica. I was studying with Terry Real and Esther Perel. I learned a lot. I'm still metabolizing most of it. I met some cool people, got to go on a couple of cool adventures, and I'm looking forward to telling you all about it. But before we start, if you're not following us on Instagram, please go ahead and do that. We're at Marriage Therapy Radio. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, please do that. As always, please support our sponsors. At the end of this episode, I'm going to tell you about a new all-purpose cooking oil that I was told I do not need to provide marketing for, but I'm going to do it anyway because that's how I roll. I'm looking forward to telling you about my trip. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back now from Costa Rica. That was crazy. I know. Can I tell you all about it?
I know I'm going to hear all about it because I was getting pictures here. I never got a foot photo, by the way. You never sent me toes in the sand.
I did not send you toes in the sand. I sent you toes in the yoga studio where I was listening to Esther Perel talk about
they weren't your
sensuality.
Toes, though. I didn't see yours.
Yeah, you did.
Do I need to go back and look at photos? Because I don't think I remember seeing your toes.
You're like, where are your toes? And I was like, they're right here in this picture. Yeah, you should go back and look.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, let's hear all about it. First of all, did it really take you 24 hours to fly to Costa Rica?
It took me 26 hours to get there. So I left my house at like 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And I got there at 9 o'clock local time, which was 7 p.m. in Seattle. So yes, it took me 26 hours.
Gross.
I had to take, and then I spent the night at LAX on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I found a little bench. Yeah. And then...
Wait, was that intentional or did you have a flight that got messed up?
No, I had a 10-hour layover and I was too cheap to get a hotel and I was
figuring...
And it wasn't too bad. I mean, I'm old and I should not be sleeping on the floor, but...
No.
But then I took my flight to Costa Rica. The airport was 72 miles from the resort.
Uh-huh.
And it took us 3 hours to get there because Costa Rica is a pretty underdeveloped country. It's a third world country and it's, I've never been in a place that didn't have development. It didn't have infrastructure or malls or store, you know, like McDonald's or anything. And it didn't have roads. It didn't have roads. Like the roads were just, you know, and so that was crazy. But yeah, we got there and it was a really amazing time. Like I had a hard time at first because I think we might've teased it on the podcast. I know I told you it's basically a couples retreat. I mean, it was a couples retreat.
Right. Yeah. I was wondering about this.
It was
Did
a couples
our mutual
retreat.
Friend go down as a couple, by the way?
Our other mutual friend, not our mutual friend, but our other mutual friend.
Our other mutual friend.
Yeah. She was there with
was
her partner.
Was there with her partner. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. And that was fun. We got to hang out a little bit, although there were definitely like little pods of people. Like there was kind of like this young, hip, sexy bohemian pod of, you know, couples that kind of seemed like they just sort of flew all over the
right
world
into
to
that.
Go to. What's that?
Yeah. She would have fit right into that. Yes.
Totally. Oh, no. That she was like the mayor of that part. and it seemed like they just flew all over the world and went to like wellness retreats and ate it all up.
Totally.
And then there was like the older, more like grizzled, kind of grown up side of the room. And I was like in that group, but I was sort of always looking across being like, I want to be in that group over there.
I want to be with the 12 percenters, meaning the 12% body fatters. Oh my gosh.
So it was a couples retreat based on enhancing erotic intelligence, which I think is a little bit of a misnomer. It sounds like a sex retreat, which it definitely was not.
Totally.
And Terry Real was in charge, and he was there with Esther Perel, who was also in charge. The two of them, are powerhouses, legends in the field. They had they had a ton to offer. A lot of Terry's faculty was there, so that was kind of fun for me as I've been training and certifying in RLT. Like, I was with a lot of the folks that were my supervisor and leaders, and that was really fun. Their whole faculty is women, which is cool. They're all badasses.
Whoa.
And
then
most of them were there with their husbands, who were also cool. So that to me was sort of like the grown-up table, and they let me sit at the grown-up table for like a week, and it was really fun. It was almost though, it was almost like we'd go through the day and we would learn the stuff, and then we'd have a little debrief at night, like around dinner table. We'd talk about, oh, what did you think of this, that, and the other thing? And then we very quickly went into, what are you watching on TV, or what are your favorite card games, or where did you grow up? Or, you know, Esther on the first night had us play her game. It's a card game that has questions on it. So she went around and just passed out cards. And so we all just were asking each other questions. It was pretty cool. But I had a pretty hard time. I was texting Rebecca from the beginning because I didn't know what brain to be there in. Like, should I be there in my clinician's brain? There was plenty of clinicians and, the solo spouse brain. And there were also plenty of people there who were there on their own, either without their partner or they were unpartnered. And it was distressing for me. Like, I couldn't figure out how to like settle into
straddle
my own skin until
two
about
worlds.
Until about, I don't know, maybe it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I finally just was like, I think I'm just going to be here and take it in and enjoy it and use what I can and kind of let things slide off my back if I need to, not overstress about bringing things home to my clients or bringing things home to my wife. And then it started to be like really cool time. I really just started to kind of enjoy it. And anyway, I learned a lot. I got a lot of notes to go through. I've been trying to figure out how to integrate some stuff. And it was a really good time. It was a really good time.
I really enjoyed. So we have, we have an interview coming up with Emily Nagoski and her husband. We just interviewed Harville Hendricks and Helen Hunt.
Helen, right? McKelly Hunt. Yeah.
And it was, I think it's interesting because I asked you, like, did Terry come down with his partner? Esther partnered? I don't even know. Mm-hmm. They both came to this retreat with their significant others, and you had an opportunity to observe them. And I always find that so fascinating you have a quote that I absolutely love and I butcher it every time. So if you can remember it, but
it's sort of
this idea, it's about professional mastery doesn't always translate into personal mastery. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. I've said that before.
Oh, you have. I just butchered it, but,
well, here's what I'll say about this. Terry was there with his wife, Belinda. She is a hoot. She's just the coolest. And, you know, they're both kind of in their, I don't really give a shit part of their life. Like, they're not that they're not careful or full of care, but they're really just like, we're trying to enjoy it and live life. And they just don't, they're unfiltered. They tell the truth. Terry's always been that way in his career, but she was just, you know, so fun to talk to. You'd sit down and she wouldn't filter anything. And she would ask you poignant questions and she would have really clear opinions. And that was really, really, really fun. And they are quite enamored of one another. It's really fun to see them. Like, he universally, praises her from the top, from the stage. He's always giving her props and she's really supportive and, proud of his work, which was really fun. And then, Esther was there with her husband, Jack. And, you know, honestly, I spent more time talking to Jack and Belinda than I did with Terry and Esther. But he is a guy who whose career is around working with extreme trauma, like torture survivors and people who have been in war, you know, refugees in really, you know, horrible situations. And so we just talked a lot about that. Whenever I found myself just sort of sitting with them, I was like, how do you do this work? And what is it about?
No kidding.
It's really intriguing to hear. Because, you know, trauma right now in our community, in our career, is all the rage. Everybody's got trauma. Trauma this, totally. Trauma that, trauma the other thing, yeah. You know. And I think it's true. And I think people do have trauma. I think we've talked a little bit about uppercase T trauma, lowercase T trauma. It's really hard to sort of equalize or differentiate what all of that means. But it was really, really interesting just to hear, you know, and Esther and Jack are sort of like lock and key. They're almost like, yin and yang. She is this, voracious, big, expansive personality. She was in the middle of the dance floor. She was running the show. She was always working the room. Didn't hesitate to ask a question. I met her in the line. I met her in the dinner line. Before I got out of the dinner line, she'd asked me 5 questions about my life. And I was like, whoa, hold on. This is crazy.
Wow.
And then he's just this like really quiet, sort of contented guy who sits back and watches her do her thing. But they too were quite warm. You watch them. It's almost like if you could, I would look over when sort of no one was looking and they were just sort of nestled into the comfort of one another, which was quite cool to see too. I always wonder, you know, because some people, you know, some people, they talk the talk and they're out front and they're like, this is how you do a relationship. And then they don't, and they're train wreck at home. Kind of like, I guess the quote we were trying to remember, but that was not my experience of either of them, down there. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in general too, we've been talking a lot about kind of opening up a little bit more of our personal lives and showing a little bit more of kind of like the behind the scenes. And you've been really honest and open. I mean, we just interviewed Matt and I think one of the things you said is like, I think I'm on my like 4th marriage with my wife and you've been really open about what that's like. And you've had a chance to kind of see, get the behind the scenes view of what it's like to be in my house with my husband, and what that relationship looks like. And you've overheard conversation. I mean, you were just listening to a conversation I had on the phone with him. And, you know, it's kind of like, I think people in general sort of wonder what's really going on behind closed doors. And if these are the ones, the people that we are following that are the big wigs in the field saying, this is how healthy relationships are supposed to be. Do they walk the walk or are they just amazing teachers? And it, you know what? If they're amazing teachers and it's a train wreck behind closed doors, okay. Thanks for teaching really great information.
You take what you can. You get what you get.
Yeah.
You know, there's this whole thing about never meet your heroes. And I've had that experience several times where it's like, oh, you know, this person is so, I adore them, you know, in public setting, but then behind the scene, but you know, and this just wasn't also, it's like super easy to be on your best behavior in Costa Rica where the weather is perfect and you got nowhere to go and they're serving you like 3 meals a day. And, it's just, you know, quite lovely. And, you know, if I was thinking about takeaways, like what are my key takeaways? And there's a ton in the realm of erotic intelligence. For sure that I will take a while to metabolize about how intimacy works and how intimacy works in, you know, specific cases with couples or in general cases. But my main takeaway wasn't exactly that. It was basically, I think, 2 things. If I can try and say these clearly. Number one is couples who are going to level up. If you're going to level up as a couple, you absolutely have to level up at the level of conversation, the way that you have conversation, particularly around difficult topics. So the easiest way to put that is if you want to improve your life in the bedroom, you have to improve the quality of conversation about your sex life.
Yeah.
It's not strictly learning techniques or positions or biology. It really is about learning how to talk about sensuality and sexuality. Here's the thing that blew my mind. This was a couple things blew my mind, but there was, I think it was maybe the second day. Esther had us all in this big room, this big, expansive, beautiful yoga studio up on top of a hill, you know, with clear vistas and 3 directions. And she had us all in this room and she kind of drew a line and said, I want you on this side or that side of the line, right? So she was like, if you're born in the United States, stay on this line. If you're born abroad, stay on, if your parents are born in a different country than you, go over here, go over there. Kind of demographically moving us around. And then she started to get into sex. And she said, this is the part that blew my mind. She goes, if in your family, in fact, Laura, think about this in your for yourself, in your family, was sex overt? Was it known? Was it out in the open? Or was it right. a focus? That was what it was. Was it a focus or was yeah. it peripheral? Was it over here? Was it kind of on the side? So was it mm-hmm. was it a central part of your family dynamic or was it a peripheral part of your family dynamic? So yeah. everybody walked central. Around the room. Do you know what mm-hmm. side of the room you'd be on?
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah.
side?
It was overt. Like sex okay. was an overt conversation.
So I went over to the peripheral side. I was like, it was over on the yeah. peripheral side. Like that's not where plenty of people room was split in about in half. And then she yeah. goes, okay. But if in your home sex was something you did not talk about, it was a secret. It was behind closed doors. It was loaded with shame. Is that peripheral or is that central?
And that's I was central.
Like, right. So then yeah. everybody moved back into the other side of the room, mm-hmm. the overt side of the room, because, mm-hmm. you know, she wasn't asking, did your parents walk around naked or did you understand how orgasms works or were you allowed to, it was like,
totally.
Was sex a topic that was, you were open and willing to be able to talk about? And for those of us who said, oh no, it was totally just a private thing. She exposed that it was actually the privacy was actually central. And so
right.
here all of us are repenting or trying to repent from this thing that we don't really know how to talk about. And
yeah.
So that was a major kind of eye opener for me just to go, okay, wait, everything I think I know maybe isn't everything there is to be known.
Yeah.
She, by the way, there were two very different kind of teaching experiences. He's much more linear. He definitely has like a curriculum that he's working through and he's trying to lay out tools and tips. She is sort of constantly working the room. Like she is very embodied in the way that she teaches. She has you up and around and she's, you know, having you touch people, even if you're not partnered with them. I ended up on only small groups of people I didn't know. And of course wasn't partnered with, which was a nightmare for me. But you know, she's like working through like, not just how do you think and talk about these things, but actually how do you
yeah.
feel and experience and embody them?
Interesting. So
it was really weird. I would say that they had I was comparing me and you or you and I to the two of them quite a bit. Cause I was like, oh, what's it like to have a man and a woman up there teaching? And it's very, very different. They do not have the brother sister sort of ingrained sort of trust and fluidity. And they also
have
I think you and I have pretty similar expertises. They have kind of different areas of competence that were almost competing from time to time. But it was really fascinating. My favorite part was when they would work the room. So they would teach, and they would raise their hand and go, well, I have this question. And then they might spend 10 minutes with that couple or that person, kind of sorting through and working out kind of the issue itself.
Have you ever noticed just how easy it is to sign up for an app or a subscription or a service and then completely forget that you're now paying that monthly fee? I can only imagine how difficult it gets when you have multiple adults, teenagers, and children in the home, each with their own devices to track all of the expenses. I spent 30 minutes yesterday going through each charge with my husband, debating whether or not it was a necessary subscription. You wouldn't believe how many redundant music and entertainment apps we had been paying for simply because we forgot to cancel after that week-long trial. It is so frustrating to see how much money is going out the window every month, and that's why you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels any of your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps to lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I just had Rocket Money negotiate my cell phone bill and they lowered it by 15% without me ever having to talk to customer service. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on the things that you don't use and cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/MTR. That's rocketmoney.com/MTR.
I was thinking about workshops. Somebody asked me the other day, it was a client. They said, hey, we have allocated resources and time to take one workshop. What workshop would it be? And I was like, wow, what a question. And the only stipulation is that they needed to be able to take it virtually, that they couldn't travel or whatever. And which is great because there's so many options to do virtual workshops. But I'm wondering, I mean, you went to a workshop. How would you answer that? If somebody said, I have one workshop and they're already working with me. So any workshop I put on is just going to be a repeat. So our workshop is off limits. What would you say?
I think it's a fair question. It reminded me, like, this thing that I was at, it turns out, this workshop that I went to is the workshop that extremely high net worth people go to. Like, there was like the founder of that app over there. And this guy who cured AIDS was over there. And the family who had 12.
Is it because
12,
it was expensive?
It was expensive. And you know, who takes a week out of their life to go to Costa Rica and leave their kids behind?
And it's true.
Just, you know, and most people weren't there for a week. They had put something on the other side. They were either going to spend the next week in, you know, Peru, or they were going to go to this other thing, or they were also there to learn how to surf. So, you know, it was funny. I was listening. There was one couple there and I was hearing about their story and I was like, I think I know this story. Like, I think I've heard this story before. And they were like, oh yeah, they made a television show about it. There's like a whole, and I was like, right. Yes, that is exactly it.
That's awesome.
So Terry's big jam is, his thing that he likes to say is other methodologies teach you tools. We work with the part of you that doesn't use tools.
Yes.
And, I think that is, I think when he's talking about there are things that teach you tools, he's talking not directly, but he's referencing things like the Gottman method, which are fantastic when it comes to using tools, but there really isn't any emphasis on trauma or how you got here or why you don't do it. So if you're looking for one workshop, and you're trying to kind of get past the part, let's say this couple's working with you, they already have access to all the tools. RLT does have what's called a boot camp, which is available online and in person. There are, I don't know, I think there might be 7 or 8 of them on the calendar right now. I'm going to Denver next month to learn how to teach it. So it's not that I would say you should wait for my boot camp, but I think the boot camp is an opportunity to go a little bit deeper into the tool situation, and to get underneath, like, what's going on here? What's the deal? Why don't I use these? And there's a lot of emphasis on kind of adaptive child work and functional adult work and thinking through that. So if I were pointing at one compliment, perhaps, to the thing that you bring to the table, it could, it would be that. I mean, I think there are lots of other, programs out there, but because it's on the tip of my tongue and because I basically went through, I took bootcamp with Rebecca last summer, the two of us. And then I basically went through an expanded and broadened version of it this last week. I'm pretty high on that notion at the moment. It's a great program.
I think you should figure out how you can get me into this boot camp to take it, to just watch it, observe it, just be your business partner. Cause I really want to just, I want to learn. I'm hungry. It's really interesting looking at, like, I've never seen you have so much energy around in your career in the time that we've known each other. There's something that is lit up about you. And it's really interesting actually being in relationship with you and looking at the last 8 years or however long we've been friends, 9 years, 10 years, that there's been these waves where I get lit up and I'm just like on fire. I'm motivated. I'm driven. I'm producing. And then I'm on easy street and I'm coasting. And I think the two of us actually had this professional development surge where I went the sex therapy route, you went RLT route, but I am fired up. Like Melissa Orlov, I bought her workshop. I told you I would. We had her on and she was talking about the ADHD marriage. And so I bought her workshop and I'm going through it and I'm just really intrigued. And so now I'm kind of like, what else can I soak up? What other skills can I learn?
Well, I know Esther has training programs. I think you would dig it a lot, like kind of what she was doing. In fact, I was almost like, you really ought to supplement what you've been working on with this sort of thing? Because again, she's really trying to get people changing the way they talk about sex. So I think earlier I was like, mm-hmm. what are my main takeaways? But okay, let me speak to what you said though. Like, I think you're right. I am kind of lit up right now, almost because I feel like I don't really have another option. I'm not really, I was thinking about how basically right now I work and I hang out at my house, and my house is changing quickly as my kids leave home. And, as my relationship with Rebecca kind of solidifies and changes, you know, we have been married 26 years and probably 4 or 5 different times. We're definitely at the top of another phase, which feels really exciting and cool. If they teach this event next year, I think I will take her back. I think I will go back with her, because I wanted her to be a part of what I was learning and feeling. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm also still plagued by all my insecurities and all my anxieties and all my, like, am I measuring up? And, you know, I still have all this struggle and strain. What was really fascinating though, is to think about a lot of these like high wealth people who kind of have it all. They literally like have it all. I mean,
yeah,
all of it. And they're still struggling. They're still trying to figure it out. They're still unhappy. They're still ambivalent about their relationship. They're still struggling in their sense of sexuality. They're still having affairs. They're still having, you know, they're still looking for something that they want to call peace and happiness. And without going all like super yoga-y, I do think that the older I get, the more I'm like, you know what it's ultimately about is like being peaceful and being happy. And that seems like it should be a lot simpler than it is. So I might be kind of lit up about being simple. You know how my New Year's resolution is to do things? It's like, I'm just going to do things.
You're just going to do it?
I'm going to do things. Like I sort of have all these ingrained limitations about what I can and can't do. I think going to Costa Rica was a big deal, but I leaned into like, I'm going to take yoga class. So I took a yoga class. It's terrible.
Yes.
Terrible at yoga.
And yeah. Because you're not bendy.
No.
Like the hardest part of your day is putting on my left sock. Yeah. I thought about you, by the way, when I was trying to put, I hurt my back and I couldn't run for like a week and a half. And every time I went to put my sock on, all I could think about was, God damn it. This is what Zach does every single effing day. This is awful. I mean, I just kept thinking I went to the chiropractor like 4 times, massage therapist. I was trying to, poor guy. All right. You're going to do things.
I got a massage. I got an abdominal massage. I did the cleanse. Let's see. I ate no sugar, dairy or gluten for a whole week. Yeah.
And I was going to say, I'm not even joking. And I know I make a lot of comments about your physical appearance. Is that when we hopped on an hour ago and I didn't make a comment, what I kept thinking is you look very healthy. Mm. That was the, like your skin looks healthy. Yeah. You're like, you just look rested. Like you look like you spent a week in Costa Rica.
Totally. Totally. I did this thing where they, it was like an ozone treatment with your blood. Do you know about this?
No.
So they took out like a half a pint of my blood. I paid for this. I was like, I'm going to do this because they promised me I would feel more energized and younger, like Peter Pan. Uh-huh. They took out like a half a pint of my blood and they mixed it with O3, which is like the ozone.
A lot. Oh, okay.
No, like oxygen. They oxygenated my blood. So they showed me my old blood. They're like, look at your brown blood. And then they're like, look at your bright red blood. And then they put it back into me. So, I was supposed
Sounds
to like I thought I was
going
to like fly or something, or like at least walk up the stairs without losing my breath. But I couldn't do it. Wednesday was the day off and I was like bereft because I didn't have anything to do and I have so much anxiety. Like, I don't know what to do. And so I was sitting there, I've gotten my massage, I did my ozone thing. Everybody's kind of dispersing. Some people are going to town. Some people have dinner plans. Other people are, you know, going on their adventure or whatever. And I'm just like, the faculty that had included me at the grown-up table had a dinner all by themselves that I wasn't invited to, which was totally fine. Mm-hmm. So I just turned to this lady next to me and I was like, you want to go on a walk? You want to go to the beach? You want to go to the town?
You want to hang out?
She was like, no, not really. It's too hot, but I'm going out later with my friends. I'm going out later with my friends.
Yeah.
So
was this
like,
the young hobo? Hobo, is that the word to use?
No. This was like
Bohemian
like a
boho.
No, it's like a It's like a Brazilian supermodel, basically. And she,
of course you turned to her. Hey, babe, you want to hang out?
Like, and she's hey, like, no, what are you old doing? Guy. So she goes, no, I'm going out with my friends later. And I said, well, can I do that?
Yeah.
And she said, sure. Why don't you come out?
Of so course
I really,
she
but
did.
I really did think it was, what? Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I really thought we were going out with like 10 people. Like I was just going to go into town and like be in the town and I could peel off anytime I wanted to. And, turns out, no, we went to like this like swanky, like sunset bar with her two friends. So all of a sudden
also
I'm on a double date.
Models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, definitely people who live in a world that I do not live in. Like,
right.
So, you know, philanthropists and movers and shakers and, you know,
yeah.
big time New York City personality kind of things. And I was so terrified. I was just like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be here. I don't know what to, you know, but I just did things. I just leaned in. I leaned into it.
Yeah.
And, I spent like 5 hours with them, just the four of us. We just talked about stuff, talked about relationships and politics and, you know, art and then, you know, health. Cause this one lady that I went with, she was, like also a health coach. She was like coaching me through like what I was allowed to eat. Cause I couldn't, cause I was off base on the base. They tell you on the resort, they tell you what you can eat. And then,
yeah,
but now we're friends. Now we're like best friends. And I reckon Mary and I are going to New York next month and we're going to go out to, we're going to hook up with some of my new friends. Yeah.
You really are kind of lit up and you know, it, like all of this travel that you've been doing, did it start with Germany?
It was so crazy, Laura. Like, I can't even tell you how I just
You're
was
a
like,
different man.
Well, it's just, again, I grew up, my family declared bankruptcy in high school. I have come from a scarcity mindset my entire life.
Yeah, me too.
To meet people for whom like money is not an issue. I have to go through this filter. I have to go through this filter of, am I allowed to be in this conversation? And then, it turns out you find out that everybody is the same. Everybody is the same. Just trying to figure out like, how to do life better, how to do happiness and peace. And they're just figuring it out. It's pretty wild. I think the other, I was remembering, I wanted to note two takeaways.
Yeah.
Takeaway number one was if couples are going to level up, they have to level up at their conversational level. Meaning they have to learn how to talk about sex. They have to learn how to talk about conflict. They have to learn how to talk about trauma. They have to learn how to talk about hope and fear and difference. That has to happen. That can only happen. This was takeaway number two. If you are doing the appropriate work around kind of adaptive child, functional adult, I know that's Terry's language. I don't mean to lean on it too heavily, but it's just so obvious that if you're not operating out of your functional adult, the wisdom and maturity that comes with being an actual grown up, it's impossible to do relationship well. It really is impossible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And again, what I was saying about this Costa Rica scenario was you had people for whom they came in an immense amount of distress. Like one couple was talking about an affair that was discovered 2 weeks ago. They come in an immense amount of distress, but for a week, you got no kids, you got great weather, you got nowhere to go. You got 100 other people around you. So you're not going to like make a scene or do something ridiculous or, you know, and you have this constant cocoon or container for safety and for health and for like being a functional. And then you had two of the kind of the best at in the game encouraging you to lean into like, okay, wait, feel that feeling, take your time, go ahead and cry, like let it out. And I think when we create those spaces, obviously easier to do in a tropical environment that you're not in a hurry. Puerto Vida, right? Puerto Vida life. Like this is like, that's what Costa Rica is all about. Just like live free. But we have to create those environments in our home. We have to create those environments in our, and maybe that's the power of a therapy room, or maybe that's the power of being, you know, in a mature relationship where you do prioritize protecting one another from these traumatic impulsive responses that tend to creep out. And I don't know, it's just really, 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 really powerful to watch people like lean into it and do the work. I think there was some real,
yeah,
like real encouraging
transformative
work
moments.
Yeah.
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 That's pretty special. I think it's really neat that you are putting yourself in these like uncomfortable situations, because oh my God, if I think so about the amount. Yeah. But you grow when you're uncomfortable, and you have been putting yourself in like increasingly more and more uncomfortable situations in just the last year, from when we went to Germany and then you went to Korea, and now you're going to Costa Rica and
Ireland.
Then you're Ireland. So I think like you started to experience a new side of yourself by putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation and growing a little bit, and then putting yourself in another uncomfortable situation. And it's just, you're on quite the pathway for growth right now.
Well, and the world, right? The world is a very big place. There were people from all over the world there. I met this like lovely couple of women from Belgium who were there just for personal enrichment, like professionally trying to develop. There was people from England. There was people from, you know, literally all over. And gosh, there was this couple. This mom was there with her daughter, 21-year-old girl. And this mom, and they just kind of met there and were spending time together. And I was thinking about Abby the whole time, just like, what would it be like to learn this stuff at 21?
Yeah.
You know, and what would it be like to be alongside your mom, who's also learning this stuff, trying to kind of develop and grow and model that? I mean, it was so cool to see. And I think, you know, again, for me, it's this idea that the world is a very, very big place and we all want the same thing. Which is peace and happiness. Like that is what we want. And so I'm just kind of pro that. And now here I am back in the real world, and I'm sort of like, oh my God, I got to buy a car and the weather is gross and I can't believe I have to go to work tomorrow. And, you know, and I'm like, why am I fretting about all this stuff? So, I don't know. It's a really cool, I think it's really important. I think to your point, to be stretching, not simply to stretch yourself in terms of internally what it requires and pulls out of you, but also to sort of normalize and realize that the world is bigger than the tiny little thing that you've created, called your relationship or called your house or your town or your job. And it would be really easy, I think, to submit to despair. I howled at the moon.
Oh, yeah. Were you with other people when you howled
I went out. Okay. I did yoga at like 7:30 PM. And then at 8:30 PM, we walked down to the beach with drums.
I'd love a good drum circle.
And then love we walked into the ocean. Just walked into the ocean and floated and howled at the full moon.
This is like, the picture that you took. Thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I took very few pictures vis-a-vis like what I actually looked at.
I know I demanded photos from you, but you sent me a lovely photo and you said, this is my situation right now. And it was just kind of like a sun setting and just reflecting off of the water and people just kind of coming and going. You know what would have made that situation even better is if you had done it naked. If you guys just decided to shed your clothes. Yeah.
Somebody probably did.
Yeah. And just go howl at the moon. That's amazing. I'm in awe of your situation. And I also am feeling really grateful that I get to reap the benefits of this Zach in 2024.
Yeah. Well, if I figure out what erotic intelligence is, I will figure it out. But you know, I think it's really about, again, suspending certainty, suspending what you, Esther said, she was talking very specifically about, you know, your sexual relationship with your partner. She goes, never assume that you know your partner. As soon as you assume that you know your partner, you've stopped othering them and you haven't given them a chance to surprise you. You don't give them a chance to titillate you. You know, she said, desire has to be chosen. It can't be required. And so you can't desire a thing you already have. And so you sort of have to figure out how, within the context of your committed relationship, to take desire to the next level by remaining mysterious to your partner and allowing your partner to remain mysterious to them. Just lots of little things like that I will, you know, kind of ponder and try to integrate. I'm trying to think if I've like, if there's any, like, I almost feel like, what am I missing? But the good thing is, like, you know, Rebecca and I have had 5 or 6 conversations already about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, this and this and this. And, you know, she's starting to read Esther's book, Mating in Captivity, just to kind of collect similar language, which is cool.
Sure.
Cool. You know, you just meet cool people and you make, you know, and make cool connections. I don't know. I'm glad to have gone. I was about to bail. I was ready to be like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going home. But then I never really seriously considered it because I would have had to be in the car for 3 hours bumping around to the airport and, you know, figure I'll stick it out for the week.
Yeah. I do want to go back to this idea that Esther Perel says, like, you need to remain a mystery to your partner, which kind of, a lot of people have posed that as the opposite of what the Gottmans say, which is to love map, to know your partner so deeply mm-hmm. and so well. And the way that I sort of hold those two truths together and see that they're helpful is the idea of not necessarily remaining a mystery to your partner, but stay interesting, stay interested. Like, I am about willing to bet that with this type of growth, like, you've never been more interesting to me, Zach, with the amount of growth that you're doing. And I can with certainty say that Rebecca is likely very interested in who you are because you're interested in something. And you're lit up. And that, to me, it's less about being a mystery, like you don't know your partner, but continue to grow and be interested in something, have something to bring to the table that makes you unique and interesting. And, so that's how I sit with that.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, oh, shucks.
All right, well, let's land this plane because, a little update in my life is I'm moving back into my house, which is pretty cool. I actually sent, I sent a video. I was last night, I poured myself a glass of Viognier, which is one of my favorite white wines, very stone fruit forward, delicious, at 9 o'clock at night. And I was unpacking my kitchen and there was such a sense of peace and joy that came over me because I realized I'm not a thing person. I could be a minimalist, but there is so much warmth that comes from my cookbooks and being in my kitchen. And it really is centered around being able to host people that I love and cook yummy food for them. And so I actually took a video of I was unpacking my cookbooks and I wanted to know, what are your favorite cookbooks? So I shared a couple of my favorite cookbooks. I posted that on Instagram. So check that out. But I would love to know what your favorite cookbooks are. So check in to Marriage Therapy Radio Instagram to see what mine are. And then another update, when this comes out, I will be well over $10,000 raised for the Children's Tumor Foundation, which is so amazing. Several of our listeners have reached out and some people are anonymous. Some people are saying like, hey, I've been with you since day one, or I'm international, which was Kirsten, I think was international. So it's just been a real pleasure to have you guys join me on this journey of raising money for more research and support around this rare genetic disorder. So thank you so much. With that, we'll land this plane.
Yes, we'll land this plane. I wanted to tell you about and give a shout out to my friends, Jeff and Renee. They run a thing called Zero Acre Farms. Have you heard of Zero Acre Farms? It's cooking oil. It's cleaner, all-purpose cooking oil with even more good fats than olive oil, a neutral taste, and a tiny environmental footprint. These were two of my favorite people that I met in Costa Rica, and I told them, I said, I'm going to give a shout out to your cooking oil. So if you're into like super healthy cooking oil, and speaking of cookbooks, then check out Zero Acre Farms. And they told me, no, don't talk about it. And I was like, why don't I get to advertise whatever I want to advertise?
That's right. Too late.
Check out Zero Acre Farms and support my friends, Jeff and Renee. And what's that?
I did this a shout out where I said, hey, Zach, are you wearing the Loom deodorant that we got from our sponsors? Because I have been wearing, it's Lumi. It's not Loom. It's Lumi, L-U-M-E. And it's my new favorite deodorant. It's basically like a stick that goes all over my body. And then I smell like toasted coconuts and I'm pretty sure that smells delicious. So I'm just saying that. They may not be sponsoring this episode, but they're sponsoring my armpits and my vagina today, or my labia.
That's hot.
Anyway. All right. Yeah, that is hot.
Well, thank you for asking me about my trip and I'm glad that I got to download it a little bit. I'm sure I'll have more to download later. And, let's land this plane. Let's go do the next thing that we got to do today.
They're going to go move into my house now.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Toward the end, Zach was talking about some friends that he had made and their oil. And the website is zeroacre.com. So it's zeroacre.com. We're not sponsored by them, but we just wanted to send them a little bit of marketing love. And then also as a reminder, today, as we're recording, Zach, you didn't know this, but it is actually Rare Disease Day, which is a great opportunity for you to contribute to more research by contributing your dollars. And you can do that by going to our website, marriagetherapyradio.com. Scroll down just a little bit and you will see the Children's Tumor Foundation and raising money. And I will be running the New York Marathon. So my hope is to reach $20,000 and I'm about halfway there, you guys. So thank you for all of your support. Thank you for your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.